That scream feels so good this morning, Al. It feels so good because that's what it was last night. I was watching the last couple of innings up in my bedroom, had the TV on, and when that third out of the ninth inning, it was, yeah, all over again. Finally, first place in the National League West. It was great.
What does your wife What does your wife do when you
– She lost.
She watching the game too?
No, she actually is a big baseball fan. She loves baseball. So we were watching it together, and she's heard me say stupid things for – 30 years now, so she's kind of over it.
Yeah.
She's not used, she's used to it.
Does it come to a point where you said so many things where she's just like, I don't even hear him anymore? I hear words, but I'm not paying attention to actually what's coming out of his mouth.
She has takes. She will say
like
things.
Like a hot take?
Like she'll see, because again, I'm immersed in this stuff all the time that sometimes you just lose track of she'll be like, oh my gosh, that's a really good point. She sees things and she's got a pretty good sense of humor. So she'll fire some stuff in there. She's pretty good.
All right. So obviously we know the Giants play a little bit later today. They play this afternoon.
12:30.
A chance for the Brewers. I did not know how many Milwaukee Brewer fans we had in LA, but I feel like there's just growing,
more
growing
than there
fan
were
base.
4 days ago. it's growing quickly. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Before we get to your Anthony Davis topic, and I think it's a really, really good one. I hadn't thought of it quite like you're about to lay it out. Mm-hmm. I want to follow up with this phone call here very quickly. Let's go to our Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Rancho Palos Verdes. And Brian, you're on with Travis and Lee. What's up?
Hey guys, love the show. Travis, did you really go up to Randy Johnson and say hey?
Yes.
Just hey.
So okay, I want no, not just hey.
Brian, it was literally like he was at Trader Joe's just asking somebody where's the butter lettuce
one time. That was fun. So this is what it was, Brian. It was kind of like this. I'm trying to go back. I was probably 30 something. I'd been doing this a while, but it wasn't like I'm a 50-year-old guy walking in there and had a bunch. I'd already had Albert Bell physically threaten me. But it's Randy Johnson, man. He's super intimidating. I think it was kind of hey,
those might be the two most intimidating baseball players in the history of baseball.
Mr. Johnson, hey, my name is Travis Rogers and I produce the Rome Show, and And I literally just, like, the look, I just stopped dead in my tracks. And then very quickly, like, I was wondering, and then somebody grabbed me by the shoulder and was like, no,
if I was Diamondbacks PR, public relations, don't you just kind of want to let that play out?
Like,
don't you want to just kind of...
Here's why.
Yeah.
Here's why.
Because then you got to deal with Randy.
No, bingo. The next day, Randy Johnson chews someone's butt. Like, how did that jackass get that close? What are you doing to your job? It was terrifying. Terrifying.
Would have been great if you went to Rome and said, got him. Just got him.
No, it didn't work out. How's Bob Brenly sound? That's kind of what it was like. Yeah, well, that was not the most comfortable moments of the day to go back in there for it.
All right, so we got, as we do every single day, and we greatly appreciate Stat Hero's partnership here on our show and on 710 ESPN. Today's Stat Hero of the Day. Okay, Trav, let me set this up here.
Go.
So, obviously, we start – actually, you know what today is? What's today? Today's September 2nd?
Yeah.
1 month from today is the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Brooklyn Nets in game one of the preseason.
Wow.
30 days from today.
That's hard to believe.
We'll be living in this studio. Okay. So, this
is – feel like that, like I felt last night when the Dodgers went in first place.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's not good. If I'm getting that excited about beating Brooklyn, you see, we locked up Patty Mills.
Curry sucks.
We locked up Patty Mills. Stat Hero of the Day in the 2019. I want to compare AD's stats last year when they won the championship to this past season.
Okay.
So AD 2019-2020 Lakers win a championship. He averaged 26 points a game, 9 rebounds, around 3.5 assists a game. Last season, his average went from 26 to about 22 points a game. His rebounding went down about a rebound and a half to 7.9. Still the same amount of assists. I think his blocks per game went down as well.
Okay.
All right. So let me kind of explain why that's an important stat.
Hit me.
Who the Lakers get this offseason?
Rajon Rondo.
Okay. Who else they get?
Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Those two players.
Wayne Ellington.
Those
Kendrick Nunn.
Let me stay on those two. I know there's 19 different guys on the roster. Rajon Rondo is known for really doing one thing his entire career. He's a setup guy, right? Rondo's a setup guy. Here we go. It's not going to end. Do you have an assistant coach you want to throw in there? Lost Jason Kidd? No, you couldn't do it.
I didn't have it on the tip of my tongue. I wanted it so bad.
Think of the guys, Rondo, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James. If you take those guys' career averages, assists per game.
David Fizdale. Thank you, Funch.
Of course, Funch had to throw that one in there. No, go ahead. Go.
No, I'm listening to you talk about Russell Westbrook and Rajon Rondo.
I want you guys to finish it. It's just Funch is Googling Lakers roster and assistant coaches. Don't throw it at me. No, I'll try pointing at me like I'm supposed to do something from here.
Trevor Ariza. Kent Bazemore.
Did you say Dwight Howard? Could have said Dwight Howard.
I could have. I should have. Dropped the ball.
Those three guys, between LeBron, between Rajon Rondo, and between LeBron, Rajon Rondo, and Russell Westbrook, those three dudes, what are they known for? I mean, their career, if you probably take those guys, that's 25, 26 assists a game.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to thrive this year, isn't it Anthony Davis? If anyone is, what was the conversation about last year? That he wasn't healthy.
Yep.
Right, Trav? That he, from an injury perspective, it was such a quick turnaround between last season and this. What's the excuse this year? The guy's 28 years old. LeBron's about to be 37 years old. Is this not the best chance for Anthony Davis to have the best season of his career? Doesn't this year have to be the year that we're talking about Anthony Davis for most valuable player? And I know we don't care about personal awards, but doesn't it seem set up? You cannot ask for Dwight Howard's going to be backup center. There's Dwight Howard back. He doesn't have to play the bully ball. If Marc Gasol's still on the roster, then Gasol's going to be the guy that spreads the floor. Isn't everything kind of built perfectly for Anthony Davis?
I like how you set it up that if he has the best year of his career and all the reasons that he can, right? Mm-hmm. The teammates that he's have that's going to get him the ball, the fact that he's at a certain age, he's 28 years old, where you feel like both your basketball IQ are at a level of a veteran player, but your body is still in a spot where the miles haven't started to stack up to where your physical abilities start to go the wrong way. You're at that perfect spot where both of those things are in a really good spot. To go back to your Dodger thing, if you said, hey, Trav, at the beginning of the year, the Dodgers would be this, that, and the next thing. Okay, well, let's do that right now.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year, if I said to you, Anthony Davis is going to have the best year of his career, which, by the way, is saying something. That dude's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's a high-level guy. But if I said to you he's going to have the best year of his career, where do we hang the banner? Do we do three rows of six? Do we do two rows of nine? Where does the 18th star on the court go? Like, I mean, we're talking details on championship parade. If he has his best year ever, forget it.
Isn't this the year? Like, I don't want to sound I'm not here trying to make a case that Anthony Davis has not been an unbelievable player over his career. I'm not making that case. I know that championship run that we had, AD was obviously so important, so key. Last year, it definitely wasn't the same notch that it was to start off the season. You got another one. Was that the only one you forgot?
I think so. I think that's the last one.
Okay, let me get this in. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. Appreciate their partnership, and this is one of the unique things we'll do. Every single day we'll have some type of stat from Stat Hero. This lets us kind of key in on Anthony Davis in this upcoming season.
THD. I know he's not new, but he's still
Los
there.
Caruso.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? The more I think about that, the Caruso piece, I would like to have him here because he's a fan favorite. He plays hard. I think with LeBron James, he was a very, very useful player, but you saw him without LeBron. A totally different guy.
There's nothing you could tell me that would change my opinion that Alex Caruso not being on this team, that one hurt.
So here's the other part of this.
Yeah.
The best Anthony Davis season ever. And I like how you set it up, but doesn't he kind of have to, too? I mean, never mind if and he does do this and the Lakers win a championship. That would be wonderful. But it's time for him to stop being the great compliment to LeBron James and start being the reason this blank is happening?
You know why this conversation came up for us? Yesterday we saw this. There was a piece from Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. And it was, per an NBA source familiar with some of the Lakers' struggles through the 2020-21 season, Davis felt some frustration that he wasn't getting the kind of looks in the post with Dennis Schroeder running the point compared to those he received with Rajon Rondo a year earlier. Trav, that started the conversation because I just don't know another player that's probably set up for success and is this skilled of a player like Anthony Davis. The setup for AD, yeah, I don't know who the team is built around. Maybe it's built around LeBron. Maybe it's all, you know, you can make a case that this team is built around a couple different players. AD is the one who can thrive the most with the way this roster is built.
And he has to. It's no more of this, hey,
that's the most important thing. Yeah, he does have to.
How about if he finally does this? He has to. Mm-hmm. For all the exact same reasons that you're talking about, I would love to go to two things I would like to see from Anthony Davis, aside from just be the great player that he is. Okay, and this is the burden that a player like Anthony Davis carries, because Anthony Davis is a NBA champion. He's a perennial all-star. And anybody that we're talking about, best player in the league, top 10 in the league, Anthony Davis is on that list. That's how good he is. But we still want more. That's how good he
Ken
is.
Ken Bazemore.
You want
did you say that or no? Did you say Ken or no?
I think, did we say Ken Bazemore? I think we did.
Dang, I think we did.
So you need more from him. And this is what I want by more. I'm not talking about make another all-star team. He's going to do that. I'm not talking about get the team in the playoffs. That's going to happen. What I'm talking about is I want to go through the entire season with two things. Number one, I'd really love to never talk about how he's injured again. And I know that there's an element of luck that goes into that too, just being fortunate.
Sure.
But he seems to be unfortunate more than the average amount. He seems to get nicked and dinged and this and that a little bit more than the average bear. Right? Okay. That's number one. Number two is, I don't want to have that conversation once every week or every other week of, where was AD last night? When was the last time you had a conversation about where was Kevin Durant last night?
How about LeBron?
Where was Steph Curry last
night? How about where was LeBron?
You don't have to go past the roster. You don't do it.
You don't.
You don't do it with Curry's and Durant's and LeBron's. But with AD, once every couple – and again, it's once every couple of weeks. But that's too often for a player that's that good. I'd like that to go away.
Do you see what's going on with the Lakers and the Nets? So Paul Millsap ended up with the Brooklyn Nets. There's a report from Shams Charania that LaMarcus Aldridge is going to come back. By the way, that's great news for LaMarcus. Remember, he was a part of the Nets organization last season, and then he had to retire, and he's going to come back. When you say he has to be, when you're talking about Anthony Davis, that he has to be the best, this has to be the best season he's ever had, why do you say that? You say that because James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin and Patty Mills and Paul Millsap and go down the list, Joe Harris, the Brooklyn freaking Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers, it's a two-horse race. Now, obviously, they got to stay healthy, but I think that falls more along the point that you made, that why does AD have to be the best version of himself ever is because you're not facing a team that doesn't have enough talent to beat you. The Brooklyn Nets have enough talent to beat the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right, coming up at 10:30, we're going to do another fact or cap run, Slee, but coming up next, do you trust the Dodgers in the playoffs with the managerial decisions that are going on? We'll take some of your phone calls, and I'll tell you why you should have a big fat question mark on the back end of that. It's all coming up. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Wings, burgers, a couple of beers maybe. Definitely martinis this weekend.
I'm so confused. I had no idea what you were talking about.
You were tuning out Chris. I was listening to Chris's imaging. He said, what's Travis going to get into this weekend? That. I've given it some thought since the beginning of the show to right now. It's a three-day week. I got a golf. It's 6:40 Sunday morning. Okay, here. Let's throw this out.
Wait, before you do that.
Yeah.
Funch says, what time is our flight? I think we leave Saturday morning.
Circus has Saturday morning, 1:45 check-in.
LAX?
Yep, we leave LAX Saturday morning for Circus.
First of all, wrong. You don't go to Vegas out of LAX unless you live in Hermosa Beach. You go to Vegas out of you go out of Burbank. It's 10 billion times easier.
Nope, we're in the Tom Bradley Airport.
That's right.
Right next to people
right
flying
next to the international terminal.
We're going to Denver first, and then we have a three-hour layover, and then we're going to Vegas.
All trips to Vegas should be taken out of Burbank or John Wayne. That's just common knowledge. Go on.
I never want to go to LAX again, by the way.
Of course not.
I did the 13-hour flight.
Uh-huh.
I already told you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the whole story again. But when you're on a plane for 13 hours and you land at LAX and you take a deep breath and say, there's no other place I'd rather be, that just shows you how long of a freaking flight you were on.
And then you cracked your knuckles and drove to San Diego.
Throw some water on the good old face and let's get going.
Absolutely. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So here's my question to you guys and to the listeners as well. I like to have a couple of drinks when I play golf, okay? It's a pretty easy decision to make when you're playing at a kind of normal time. Like any time after 10, you can have a few beers. You know, by the time you hit the eighth or ninth hole, it's noon.
Yeah.
Open a couple cold beers. Perfect, right? Maybe you make a cocktail at some point.
Sure.
Not that I have a bag of whiskey in my bag. That's not my deal at all.
Sure.
I have a 6:30 tea time on Sunday morning. Is it Bloody Mary? Is that really my only option?
You could do a screwdriver. You could do a little vodka and orange juice.
Not the worst idea I've ever heard.
But what time?
Painkiller?
Well, I said 6:30.
I know, but you're not.
What don't you understand about this?
You're not having
to take shots
drink
in the morning, man. Who cares?
It's
holiday weekend, man.
Okay, it's a very good question, and it is a holiday weekend, and maybe I can chalk it up to that. However,
here's the problem.
If I'm doing shots at 6:30 in the morning, is that the classic definition of you have a drinking problem?
Not just that. Like, what happens by 11 a.m.?
Okay, so if there were a professional golf tour where you had to maintain a certain blood alcohol content to play,
okay,
I would be the second best player in the world behind John Daly.
Is your golf game better?
It's not worse. That's the point.
Yeah.
I understand that. It's not better, mm-hmm, but it's not worse.
Mm-hmm.
I am fine. Like,
I'll
if
have
you
to
said,
try that. I'm going to have like a couple bourbons, get out there, play 5-on-5.
I'm talking like 6 bourbons. That's what I.
Jeff, how about that? Have a couple bourbons playing 5-on-5. Just the best defense you've ever played. Locked him down.
All right. So
Cleveland can't miss. Get him another beer.
Do you trust Dave? I laid it out a minute ago. I'm not going to do the full Monty again. But Dave Roberts, everybody was freaking out on Twitter last night because he took Scherzer out. There was a very good explanation of why he took Scherzer out, because Scherzer's
hamstring
nobody wanted to wait to hear, hey, what's going on here? The fact that Cody Bellinger took an at-bat against a left-handed relief pitcher with the go-ahead run on second base with two outs in the late innings when Albert Pujols is 100% ready to go is mystifying to me. It didn't cost him the game. Cody Bellinger, he's the equivalent of a pitcher batting against a left-handed, quite honestly, maybe worse. And you have Albert Pujols' role on this team is to hit in that spot, and he didn't. And it fills me with all these same questions about Dave. Like, I had my foot on the brake with the Scherzer thing. Like, hey, there has to be something here. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't make any sense to me, Al.
You know, it's a weird one because I actually – one of his biggest flaws, Dave Roberts' biggest flaws, is something that I respect about people the most. Okay? So just kind of let me play this out for you, Trav. People who have loyalty, I love. Like, there's something about loyalty that I appreciate and I respect. That's actually what hurts Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts has, if there's a trait that you have that it is something that hurts you, there's not a better trait I want you to have. Dave Roberts has too much loyalty. Dave Roberts in that situation yesterday probably said, do you know what this would mean for Cody Bellinger if he lined one and drove in that run and this could be the difference? Do you know if Kenley Jansen gets this save, how big it is, how important it is, if I just keep him in? That's the one thing that hurts Dave Roberts. So to answer your question of do you trust Dave Roberts, I'm going to hesitate. You're going to hesitate. And because there's that hesitation, I don't know if most Dodger fans fully trust Dave Roberts because there's a hesitation.
Look, you see the look on my face, right? Yeah, I ain't buying it. The loyalty thing, no. Where's the loyalty to the Dodgers? Are we going to be loyalty to an individual over the team?
I mean, no, he's not trying to be loyal to a player over the team. He means well, but it just might not be the right decision. That's the position that he puts himself in.
I'm not saying he's a saboteur. I'm not saying he's unplugging things in the dugout, that he's sending guys in to get slaughtered. What I'm saying is, I think you're right. I think this is, hey, Cody's been a good player for me. Cody's been a valuable part of this. Cody's hit some bigger home runs for this team. Cody Bellinger is batting 125 against
the Dodgers. No argument. Yeah, Cody
Bellinger
no argument.
Is slugging 194 against mm-hmm. left-handed batters. You went out and picked up Albert Pujols, batting 298, slugging 595, 931 OPS, to take that at bat. Your loyalty to Cody Bellinger, while it's a nice thing, potentially put the Dodgers in a situation where they could lose a game. Because here's what happened. The top of the eighth, Dansby Swanson hits a home run.
Sure.
Now you're behind. Now, if you hit Albert Pujols, maybe that whole dynamic is different. We'll never know. You
sure.
could spin that thing.
Don't you do this in baseball? You just play the odds. You play the probability. And obviously, you had a much better chance with Pujols there than Bellinger.
It's easy to follow the math, right, when mm-hmm. the math is this obvious.
Yep.
Where I would be more okay with, if this were one of those, you know what, Cody does not hit left-handers as well as Albert Pujols does, but you know what, the last couple of at-bats, he's tattooed the ball. Mm-hmm. The last month, he's done much better. Albert is...
It could be an instinct thing, sure.
But it mm-hmm. needs to be... It can't be... He might as well... You said it, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Leave Gratterall in there. Mm-hmm. Would have been better than Bellinger. The numbers tell you they're about the same. That's how bad he is against left-handed batters. Just an incredible decision last night that I do not think is getting nearly enough attention. Long Beach is our next stop. And Robert, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. To Alan's point from a minute ago, I don't think it has to do with loyalty. I think it has to do with patience. You got to remember, Dave Roberts spent a lot of years in the minor league, worked his tail off to get where he is right now, and that comes from having been patient. And this is a team full of young players. A rich farm system is going to produce a lot of young players. Dave Roberts is a patient manager. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's a loyal manager. He knows that for some of these guys to get their confidence back, he has to let them fail. He has to let them do their jobs. And sometimes that's going to sting us, and sometimes that's going to help us. When Kenley was blowing those saves against the Giants last time they were in town, that was an example of Dave Roberts' patience being misplaced. But last night, it made sense, and look at we're in first place now. Thanks, guys.
It didn't make sense. That's the point. I appreciate the phone call, Robert. It doesn't make sense. That's the whole point. I'm waiting for someone to explain to me why it makes sense. And patience, I get it. I hear what you're saying, Robert. And being patient for an MVP in 2019 to find his footing.
It's just the wrong move.
Is fine.
That predicament, that situation is just the wrong move.
Because patience, the 156 games he played when he won the MVP, he was extraordinary. He had an OPS over 1,000. He had a batting average over 300. He had an on-base percentage over 400. It's an extraordinary year, and he won the MVP because of it. However, and this is what I don't get. The last month and change of that season, Bellinger was bad. Not just not as good, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The entire season last year, he was bad. Now, he ran into a couple in the playoffs, hit a big home run. I get it. Important. He was not good. That last season, the fraction of a season, the shortened season.
Yep.
239, on-base percentage, 333, OPS 789. That's about average. Okay? Those other numbers are low. This year, the entire season's been a bust. There hasn't been one moment where you're like, yep, this is pretty good. Patience is, let's get through a month, 2 months, a season. We're on the third season where he's been something other than just bad.
So go back to the question you asked. Do you trust Dave Roberts?
No. It doesn't make any – now, I'm not saying you send Cody out of here. I'm not saying that you send Cody to a place where he never played.
No, you just go by your quote that you had a couple days ago where you said you're not going to put him up versus lefties.
Yeah, it was a decision that completely defies explanation. Just let's try one more here. Let's go to Mondo in Santa Barbara. Mondo, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Well, you know, my thing on Roberts is, yeah, sometimes he doesn't make the right decisions. And the stats for Bellinger – man, last night my wife and I were watching the game, and I was surprised that he was in there. But, you know, you're saying Pujols, I don't think any of them can catch up to the fastball right now. But, God, if Cody Bellinger gets that hit, that's going to – maybe that boosts up his, you know, his pride a little bit.
Mondo, and I don't want to interrupt you, but we got to go, and I want to answer the question. I'm not here to make sure Cody Bellinger feels good about himself at night anymore. I'm done with this. I'm done with trying to make sure that Cody Bellinger – hey, Cody's feelings.
You can't do it 2-2 in the seventh. You're tied with the Braves. By the way, you're fighting for lead in the NL West. You can't do it right now. You know when you could do it? If you're up six games in the final week of September.
Mondo, what you just said makes you a nice guy, that you're thinking about the way that people feel. I'd like that
and
about
Travis
you.
Travis is not a nice guy.
No, I want the Dodgers to win the World Series. I want the Dodgers to win the World Series. And your point about Pujols catching up to the fastball, it's a good one. Here are the numbers. This isn't my opinion. It's not Mondo's opinion. Albert Pujols hits nearly 300 against left-handed hitters. He's 298. Albert Pujols' OPS is 931. That's elite against left-handed pitchers. He's hit 11 home runs against left-handed. This isn't – maybe he can. Numbers say he can. It's not my opinion.
But this isn't the predicament to be doing this. That's the bottom line. The predicament, you're in a 2-2 game. You're trying to beat the Braves, sweep the Braves. Giants losing. It's not the predicament to be – let's hope that Bellinger comes through in this spot.
All right, coming up at 10:45, the biggest series of the season for the Dodgers is right around the corner. But coming up next, it is Fact or Cap. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Travis and Slee was presented by Progressive, and all of our guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Slee, a couple of quick tweets here. One is a suggestion on my question, which you'd have on the golf course early in the morning for a cocktail.
Yeah, yeah.
805 Raider says, white Russians, homie. I'm not a big milk guy, and I think that has milk in it, so I'm kind of out there. Although Funch kind of checked me a little bit and said that you can do it with Kahlua, which
yeah,
sounds...
it's usually vodka, milk, and Kahlua.
Can the I leave Big Lebowski. The milk out? Is it still a white Russian?
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The dude.
Milk.
Walking around a grocery store.
When's the last
just,
time you had a giant glass of milk? Doesn't that sound gross?
Yeah, adults drinking milk just like creep me out.
No, it's been a long time.
I had one the other night. I had milk the other night.
Like a big glass. I'm not saying like a sip or two with a cookie.
Like some milk and cookies?
I'm like a little bit. I had some cookies,
but
yes.
Like, you know what? I just came back from a, you know what I need? I need a big glass of milk. That sounds awful. Anyway, that's your
name. Every time the show ends, I have 16 ounces of milk. Whole milk.
You gotta get your vitamin
and
D.
And then unseasoned chicken and then white rice and nothing else.
It's not great. All right. John of Fullerton. Making Bellinger feel good about himself far outweighs potentially making Pujols feel better about himself. I support Dave Roberts. Now, that comes from John of Fullerton, who loathes Albert Pujols. So that's a take that with a grain of salt. Here's a good one. This is actually making me think here a little bit. It's from Big John. Big John's a regular. Thank you, Big John. Trav, do you really think the Dodgers, who are so reliant on the use of data to make decisions, are then going to turn around and tell Roberts, just go with your gut when Dave makes a move? That doesn't sound logical. It doesn't. But this is my point, John.
That's why I threw you off so much.
This is why I'm like, wait, what? What the every piece of data is telling me he doesn't hit in that situation. Dave Roberts himself had said earlier this week he's not going to hit in that situation, and there the situation was, and guess who was up to bat? That's the part that has me scratching my head.
Well, that's the part, too. You know, you kind of compared this, all the question marks around Scherzer when he left, and you just kept saying that's not what people should be talking about. The seventh inning is what people should be talking about.
It was wild. Fact or cap?
Welcome back, guys. Our we're coming back into a new game of Fact or Cap. You guys ready?
We're ready. Yeah, we're ready.
Alrighty, so my first one is, September is the best sports month of the year. Alan, is this Fact or Cap?
I saw Clinton Yates put this up yesterday. Did we forget what October 2nd is? What has gone on in this world? The Lakers play the Brooklyn Nets in a preseason game October 2nd, and you're going to try to make the case that September is the best sports month of the year? By the way, let me fast forward a little bit. NBA starts October 19th or 20th or something along those lines. You get the NFL. You get college football. You get the either you're in the NLCS, ALCS, or probably the World Series has started by then. And you get NBA basketball. October is the best month in sports, and I don't think it's close.
October's not bad.
What do you mean it's not bad?
It's
every sport.
It's maybe third. It's good. I'm saying it's third.
Don't let me say explain it's to you. Good like I'm nine.
It's fine.
Okay?
It's good. It's fine. Good C-plus on your test, kid. Paid study harder next time. It's third. September's number two. September's really good, too.
Okay, wait. Before you go further, why is September better than October when you get – everything you just said, plus NBA.
Because you get the opening of the NFL season. It's a little, you got a little juice. You get a little juice. You get a little bit of spark at the beginning.
You don't even believe what you just said.
No, I do.
Go ahead. What's number one? And by the way, you put it top three.
You're kind of right.
There's only 12 months.
Yeah, well, that's top 25%. It's pretty good. All right. So the best one is April. And you may have heard this, but as a person of a certain age who is done having their children, the question of when you're going to get fixed is, like, when do you do this is a question that's out there. And as some of the way you recuperate from such an operation is you lay on the couch and you watch TV, right? It's April. You got the Masters. You got the NCAA tournament.
Turn his mic
You've
off.
Got the start of the Major League Baseball this. Season. You've got the NFL draft.
Why are we having this conversation?
You've got all of these things. You've got all four things. You got the NBA playoffs have started in April.
You know what? I should do Lakers talk 5 days a week. Go back
it's the
to
right
the
answer. It's the right answer. April is the number one month.
Okay, up next. Raiders will snap their four-year playoff drought this year. Travis, Fact or Cap?
Cap. I think they get really close. They've gotten better every year under John. John Gruden takes a ton of heat, and I'm not a big John Gruden guy. His first year, they were terrible. His second year, they were a little less terrible. Last year, they were 500 and kind of sort of in it towards the end of the season. Yeah. The problem is there are two better teams than them in their own division, okay? You look at the Chiefs, they're probably the pick out of the AFC in their own division. You look at the Chargers, who feel like they're headed in the right direction with a new coach. They got a star quarterback in Justin Herbert. It feels like the Chargers are headed in the right direction. Really hard to make the play. Not impossible, but very hard to make the playoffs when you're the third best team in your own division.
So I'll go Cap, but I'll go for different reasons. It has less to do with who's in their division. It just has to do with the Raiders. Gruden's 19 and 29 in his 3 years with the Raiders. Yeah, they've probably improved. You remember at one point last year through the first 12 games, they were 7-5. They were in a position to make it to, obviously be a part of that AFC playoff race. They lost three straight. They fell out of the mix. I just don't have confidence in the Raiders. That's what it comes down to me. It's not, I get the Chiefs, I get the Chargers, I get some different conversations. I get other good teams in the AFC. I don't have confidence in the Raiders, so 8-8, that's the best they've been over the last 3 years. I don't think they get in.
Their owner has a He-Man haircut. Next.
If Scherzer had gone to the Padres would still be bad. Alan, Fact or Cap?
Cap. Cap. I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Trav, this was the difference of the season for if the Padres were going to be in the mix, they had to get Scherzer. Had to. And if they got Scherzer, because if you look at their record from the trade deadline to where they are today, there was at one point a conversation. We were talking about the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres. We haven't had that conversation in a long time, and it's never coming back. And I really truly feel at the trade deadline, that was the difference for the Padres. They got him. They'd be in the mix. They didn't. They're not in the mix.
It's Cap. I agree with you, but I want to throw something in the mix. Number one, they're not dead yet. Everybody needs to the shovels that are out on the Padres. You might want to put those back in the garage for a second. I think they're gonna win that final wild card spot.
They're half game out, but still in it, obviously.
And they got good players. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not ready to call them dead right now, but it's Cap because of what you said. And one of the things, the reason you go in a death spiral the way that the Padres did for about a month is you don't have anybody that can just on their own stop it. The Dodgers have three guys that can do that.
No month is better than October.
Yeah.
Don't April. Start. Don't try making a case and go away from it. I don't want to hear Emily. I don't want to do factor cap again if this is what I'm working with.
Two months are better. It's not. You're right. And 1 month isn't better. 2 months.
Funches,
are better.
What's the best sports month?
December.
That's not true.
I just wanted, actually, wait,
December's
I just
not bad.
That's no conflict between you guys.
If you said December, I'd say okay.
Masters,
this is late
NCAA
towards
tournament, NBA playoffs, baseball spring training, NFL draft. Every
don't
all
throw
five
an
sports.
NFL draft as in that's better than NFL actually
you know
going
the,
on.
Do you know what the second highest rated sporting event in the year is? Every year behind the Super Bowl,
Nathan's hot dog
the
eating
NFL
contest.
Draft. The NFL draft.
All right, last one I got here. Chicken nuggets are the only.
May's nice too. Sorry, Emily.
Chicken nuggets are the only acceptable thing to eat while driving. Alan, fact or cap?
That's cap. There's a lot of things you can eat. What you shouldn't be eating is a burrito. And what I don't need is Greg to be texting me, basically kind of supporting your argument as well. Chicken it's nuggets, hey, it's argument. Convenient. The
they're
problem
good.
Is you got it. You need two hands.
Why?
You got to dip.
Does your car not have a cup holder? Do you not have a lap? Do you not have a dashboard? There's plenty of places to put these things.
Okay, I could see that happening, but that's why you always have stuff all over your
I'm
shirt.
Clean today. I've ruined
you're
some
you're clean
shirts
today
and
because
pants.
You didn't eat on the way.
I ate when I got here.
It's got barbecue stains all over it.
No, look, I don't even need to answer this. This is clearly cap because they're the only thing that I like to
you
eat regularly
apple.
That I don't eat while I'm driving.
A normal human being.
Is sushi because the chopsticks while you're
guy.
Driving, that's a little hard. That's
this guy's,
that's
this guy's ordering
pasta?
Ramen.
Do you eat pasta?
He's ordering hot ramen while he's driving
so
down
that,
the 405.
So I'm talking about things that I eat regularly. Hamburger, burrito, hot dog, pizza, you know, all these things. Sushi, burritos. Like, these are things in my regular rotation. Sushi's the only one I won't eat behind the wheel.
This guy's getting chili. He's way off the 110.
Bowl fits in your lap pretty nicely. I'm just throwing that out there. All right. Dodgers have their biggest weekend series of the entire year, and it starts tomorrow, plus the dump. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Somebody is making your argument for you, Al, saying that October is the right because it's the opening of the NHL season as well. If you're a hockey fan like me, you can throw that in there.
I got nothing, buddy. When you know you're right, there's not much you have to say.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. That's when you say more. That's when you dig in.
When you remind
and
everybody.
Out. Absolutely. Okay. Biggest series of the weekend? Let me rephrase. That's the wrong way to say it.
Yeah.
Biggest series of the year this weekend for the Dodgers and the Giants, for the Dodgers, for the Giants, for both. What are we talking about?
I feel like this is the season for the Giants, okay? And let me explain what I mean here. If, let's just say hypothetically, let's say the Giants beat the Brewers, they didn't get swept today.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the Giants still took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers this upcoming weekend. Dodgers are still – I still feel like they're going to eventually win the division. It's only a matter of time. The talent is there. Everything's still set up for them. That's worst-case scenario. I know you could get swept, but probably more realistic, that's a worst-case scenario for the Dodgers over the next 4 days. If you're the Giants, you have to have that happen. Because if by the time, let's say the Giants get swept by the Brewers, so now they're a game back. They lose 2 of 3 to the Dodgers this upcoming weekend.
Okay.
There's just so much momentum going towards the Dodgers. There's so much momentum going into the final X amount of games. And oh, by the way, it's one thing to have momentum. It's another thing to be just really, really good.
Yeah.
They're going to have, you know, you mentioned this, that it looks like the Dodgers are obviously the way they're positioning themselves. You're going to have 2 of your top 3 pitchers pitch over the weekend.
Yep.
You're
Price,
only going to have
Urias,
one.
Bueller.
You're only going to have one bullpen day.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that in mind, I think, yes, it's key. It's very important for the Dodgers, but the Giants, they're kind of teetering here.
I think I want to kind of jump on what you said about worst case scenario. Let's play it out, right? Let's play out worst case scenarios for both teams, okay? Worst case scenario for the Brewers is lose today, lose all three games to the Dodgers.
For the Giants,
you're 4 games back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap. It's over. Because at that point, they're reeling. They will have at that. That would have been 7 in a row under this scenario. That's 7 in a row and 9 of 10.
Kershaw probably coming back
death
soon.
Death spiral.
And the Dodgers, right. Everybody's starting to feel good.
Death spiral for the Giants at that point. That's their worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario for the Dodgers is Giants win today and the Giants sweep the series. Dodgers are down 3. It's not the end of the world. It's bad. Don't get me
wrong.
And
the chances of that happening?
It's low, but it's also not impossible. It's not impossible. Now, with Buehler and Urias going, it's unlikely. I agree, but not impossible. But even at 3, so we got 28. It'd be 25 games left, okay? 25 games left, down 3. You don't love it, but it's, hey, let's go. Let's see, because you're going to start Kershaw, like you just mentioned. He's probably back. Hopefully, he's going to pitch on Saturday in a simulated game. We'll see. Cross your fingers. But the worst-case scenario for the Giants is your season as division champion is probably over. Now you got to come through the wild card. For the Dodgers is, not a great weekend, but we still got some bullets to fire.
Yeah,
that's why I think the Dodgers are not in a must-win situation. The Dodgers are in a, we have a chance to hammer them and bury them,
sure.
Or we're going to be in a fight for the rest of the season.
And if it plays out just the middle ground, that by the time the series is over with the Giants, it's one game back or one game in front or something along those lines, the momentum's still all with the Dodgers. So to answer your question, how does this play out? Is it the most important? Who's it more important for? I really think this weekend could determine the Giants. They've been in front of the NL West, in front of Major League Baseball all year long. And they could walk into the final 25 games of the season. As we've said before, as Michael Scott has put it, things are a little bit frantic.
Yeah. Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
It's perfect.
Do it again, but don't edit it.
And the Dodgers, keep in mind, too, that you look at this, they still are getting guys back. They're still not 100% whole. They still have an opportunity to get a little better. It's time for the dump. This day in 1986, a man by the name of Vincent Jackson made his debut for the Kansas City Royals against the Chicago White Sox. You might know him by his nickname, Bo. Bo Jackson.
Only known by Vincent.
Bo Jackson made his debut for the Royals against the White Sox back in 86. I still think for my money,
okay,
maybe Shohei is making it a little bit of a contest, but I've never seen another Bo Jackson. I don't think I ever will see another. Bo Jackson was one of the most exciting Major League Baseball players of his era, and Bo Jackson was the best running back in the NFL. That's real, real stupid.
You ever see there's a photo of him back in the day, and he's posing. He's got his shoulder pads on.
The bat.
He's got the bat behind him, and just muscles.
He looks good.
You just kind of look at him like, this isn't real. This isn't real.
He spent some time in the gym. Did you hear the story that Joe Maddon was telling the Angels broadcast team the other day? I think he told it to Buster Olney, too, that when he was finishing his career with the Angels, remember he had that hip injury playing football, and he was never quite the same again.
Yep.
He just was never able to overcome that injury. And what made Bo was gone, right? That explosive speed, that ability to just do things that no one else could do. Joe Maddon was saying that when they had him, and Joe Maddon was a coach on Mike Socha's staff at this point, that they toyed around with the idea of turning him into a pitcher. Can you imagine Bo Jackson? Because think of all those throws he made. We've seen
fire him.
He's throwing from the center field wall to home plate on the fly. Okay, so put him 60 feet away. I'm furious that we never got to see that. It's Ohtani before Ohtani, and because now we're talking. Best offensive player in the league, maybe.
Yeah.
High-level pitcher. Oh, and Ohtani doesn't play running back for the Rams. Okay?
Listen,
Ohtani's not going to get 100 yards a night for the Rams.
Yesterday, we were listing what Shohei hasn't done, right? All I'm asking for.
Play for the Raiders?
No. 1 month from today, Lakers-Nets. What's Ohtani's size?
He's 6'4"? 6'5".
6'5"?
He's huge.
Ellington misses a couple threes? Get Ohtani
in
there.
Let's go. Shohei.
Want to really impress me?
See that three-pointer.
It'll be the preseason anyway.
Bo, the best athlete you've ever seen in your life?
Deion's pretty amazing.
Deion's good.
Deion comes into mind.
Deion wasn't Bo on the baseball field, though. Deion was Deion on the football field, but mm-hmm. Deion was a good major leaguer, but he wasn't MVP-level good.
Best
Bo was.
Best athlete you've ever seen. I mean, listen, when you got a guy mixing in the two sports, like how do you comprehend? You know, the way we talk about Ohtani, and you list out all his stats with a bat, and I'm like, don't even tell me about the pitching. It doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. It's similar to a guy that's playing two professional sports.
All right, so I'm going to try to slide in a little golf here. The most hated man on the PGA Tour
Phil Mickelson.
No, everybody loves Phil. Who doesn't love lefties? He's old. He wins tournaments. It's awesome.
Sergio
Bryson
Garcia.
Bryson DeChambeau is universally loathed. Right, because
I don't know enough about this. By the way, I don't know why he's hated so much.
He's hated because he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. Now he might be. He's got a physics degree. He's a pretty smart guy, but he's going to let you know he's a smart guy. He knows a better way to do it.
And nobody likes the I'm going to tell you how great I am.
He's got a meat face, right? He's got the face. Okay, it's an unlikable face. He chirps at his fellow competitors like he did last weekend, where he goes, "Hey, can you stop walking?" He's a bad guy. Okay, or he's perceived as a bad guy, and he has no allies on tour until Rory McIlroy kind of took up for him. He said, "Hey, listen, I get it. He brings a lot of this stuff on himself, but you know the heckling that's going on with this guy, it's out of line. We really need to kind of dial it back a little bit. Do we? Or and I'm not even talking about DeChambeau specifically, but if you're going out of your way to antagonize everybody, do we owe you the courtesy of letting you go about doing your job?"
The easy answer to this, no. If you're an a-hole, you should probably be told you're an a-hole. It's the truth. I mean, you know, if you're going out of your way to be a you-know-what, you know, you kind of deserve it. But here's the thing. You think he cares?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay, so if you're blatantly an a-hole, I would think that you don't care what people think about you, but it sounds the other way.
Do they know that they are? Do the people that we're talking about, the people that bother everybody, do they know they're doing it? Are they doing it on purpose?
He definitely has the face of a guy that is an a-hole.
So when I do my meat face sound, I think I dislocated my jaw. Yeah, I have a ringing sensation in my left ear that's not supposed to be there.
Stay with the calmer, quieter, messy ones that are more like a child.
When I go up, hey, Slee.
It's easier, much easier.
It doesn't hurt.
Much more
it doesn't
natural.
Cause physical pain. I literally, I think I cracked a wisdom tooth or something doing my meat face sound. All my clubs are the same length. Anyway, it's Keanu Reeves' 57th birthday today. First of all, how in the world did Keanu Reeves turn 57?
How's he 57?
What? How did that happen?
Guy looks like he's 34.
He looks great. He looks great. Favorite Keanu movie?
Can I say Speed?
Of course. It's a great answer.
Is it?
Yes.
I feel like when I say Speed, people are going to be like, all the movies this guy has made, you like Speed?
Yeah. No, first of all, it's the ultimate key because he's not really acting. He's just standing there looking handsome, right? And he's a handsome guy. Uh-huh. And he's just kind of standing there, dude, hey, you know, hey, this bus better not slow down. That's all he's doing, right? There's no acting to be done. Right. But it's a fun movie.
Matrix, Point Break.
I think it's Matrix, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a good movie. Point Break's, but again, he's just being Keanu. Yeah. In the Matrix, he actually acts a little bit.
Yeah,
I think that's the answer. But Point Break's pretty good. Buddy, I am an FBI agent.
ESPN app or on iTunes, you could catch the full 2 hours. We are back tomorrow at 8:55.
Bus better not slow down. Something's gonna happen. Something's going to happen if this bus slows down. But tomorrow, we're back at 8:55. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.